ministries at different levels, and it's fantastic that we can celebrate as a church and join with El Shaddai to celebrate as well this mission, this ministry, and see Jeff and Jill finish well. And we'd really like as well to uphold Sev as he takes in that role in a new way without that without the McMillans there. And thank you again. Particularly, I want to thank Tim McIndoe, National MP, for being here this morning. He's going to speak in a moment, and he's been a long-time supporter of Prison Care Ministries. And Jamie Strange, Labour MP, for being with us as well. I know this, you know, this is Father's Day, and you've given up a moment of that time, and you guys worship in other places. So thank you. I think it means a lot to the McMillans. It means a lot to us. So I will be quiet from here on in, other than just making sure everything runs smoothly. I'd like to hand over now to Tim. And as Tim comes forward, children of sort of primary and intermediate age can slip out the back with that handsome young man standing back there waving his hands, and he will look after them, mostly. So feel free to go with Mike and the other kids.
Your kids want to escape, now would be your best opportunity to do that as well. Well, good morning. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with you. I feel deeply privileged to share with you how wonderful it is to have the two congregations together. And I sometimes think, won't it be even more wonderful when all the congregations come together? For we all worship the same God. We all delight in the great blessing he is in our lives. And what a shame it is that sometimes we lose sight of that. And we can allow things that actually are fairly trivial to overwhelm us and to divide us. And there are great challenges that we face as communities at the moment. There are great issues that you'll be aware of that face us in the political environment. And I just want to thank and honour all of you. We're here today because we love and honour and worship our Lord and Saviour. We give great thanks to God our Father for all that he means in our lives. But by extension, we talk about him as our Father, because that helps us to personalize and to imagine him. God is with us. God is amongst us. You are the people of Christ. And so I honor you, and I want to thank you. Pastor Phil, can I thank you for the opportunity to be here? Are you known as Rev Sev? Because I think that sounds pretty good, Rev Sev. Sev, to you and your team, to Phil and your team and your two congregations, thank you for what you do, for the ministry you provide in our wider community. It is deeply appreciated. It makes a huge difference. Thank you all. Can I also acknowledge my parliamentary colleague, Jamie Strange? And you probably think, oh, politicians always do that. But I want to do that in a particular context today because, of course, Jamie is my political opponent. Much more importantly, he is my Christian brother. And you may not know that most Wednesday morning, in fact, every Wednesday morning when Parliament is sitting, a group of Christian MPs come together at 7:15 on a Wednesday morning for fellowship. And we take turns to bring a devotional reading or some sort of passage that has touched our hearts or is speaking to us at that time, and to share a reflection, as prayer groups do all around the country at all times, and most of you will be involved in those as well, so you know what I mean. But in Parliament, it's perhaps a little bit more remarkable, because your perception of us is that we spend our entire time having a go at each other and behaving like children, and sometimes we do, and arguing, and you'd think, goodness, where is the Lord in all of that? But you might be surprised to know that at least 20 members of the current parliament acknowledge Christ as their saviour. At least 20. That's actually quite encouraging in this day and age. And many of those have the privilege, as I say, of getting together. And so next time you're thinking about your MPs, particularly on a Wednesday morning, Jamie and I are often together on a Wednesday morning praying together. Praying for our communities, praying for each other, praying for our families, praying for all the things that challenge us in our world. And that's directly relevant to what I wanted to talk to you about today. You'll notice I have deliberately left till the end one particular couple. And that's Jeff and Jill. Because what I want to talk to us, to you about today is just a few reflections on servanthood. Our calling to be servants, because we're given all sorts of roles to play in life, and today we particularly honour fathers. I have the privilege of being a father, so does Jamie, so do most of the men in this audience, in this congregation. So happy Father's Day. Thank you for what you have done in your own families, and in many cases now some of you will be grandfathers as well, because the role of a father is so important in the upbringing of our young people. Of course, the role of a mother is so critical as well. But today, as we honour fathers, I just want to acknowledge each of you who has blessed your children. In most cases, you will have raised them to know, love, and serve our Lord. But whatever the emphasis has been, just in guiding and nurturing your young children to grow to be fine young people, is a huge service. One of my favourite hymns is one that will be familiar to you, which begins, "Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you." That first part is very important, but so is the next two lines. "Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too." Because those two are so inextricably linked. And I want to just focus on a couple of aspects of servanthood. You may think, well, this fellow's a little bit deluded. He's got the wrong day. I'm wearing the daffodil, and that was Friday. It's not today. But I'm doing it deliberately because many of us had the happy opportunity to be out supporting Daffodil Day for the Cancer Society in one respect or another last Friday. And what a wonderful opportunity it is to see the very best of our community as we all come together to show support and raise funds for such a vitally important cause, which has probably touched everyone in this room. And in some ways it will be very personal and very sad. That unfortunately is just one of the facts of the huge prevalence of cancer. But it's easy to support cancer. I'm not in any way demeaning it, but it's easy to support because it's a bit of one of those thoroughly decent causes. How much more difficult is it to support a cause that isn't particularly popular or that may not resonate with many in the community, that may not be understood? And I think for some, prison care ministries is probably in that latter category. Brother, sister, let me serve you when you are at the lowest point in your life and when your family are suffering and aching with you. Let me be there to serve you then. Jeff and Jill, and now Sev and your teams, have been a shining inspiration to us in our community. And we, and I think I can probably speak for us, we don't really know what they've done, do we? In most cases, we can only imagine what that has involved. But to be there day in and day out, supporting those who, in this case, have recently been released from prison when they are at their most vulnerable, when they are at their greatest risk of recidivist offending, is truly a blessing of ministry. And I've just got a few passages that will be thoroughly familiar to Jeff and Jill because they're often used in speaking about prison ministry and how we should support those who have been in prison. Of course, in Hebrew, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, as though in prison with them. Get alongside them, don't judge them. That doesn't in any way mean condoning terrible misdeeds. Of course it doesn't. It simply means it's accepting the fact that unless we are there to provide support for those who have gone off the rails, the likelihood is that they will find it incredibly difficult to get back onto the rails. And we need people to be able to do that. It was early in my first term. How am I going for time, by the way, Phil? Okay. It was early in my first term as an MP that I was contacted and asked if I would go along to a little office in Liverpool Street to meet a lovely couple. We hadn't met before, and I confess that I may have heard of prison care ministries, but I didn't really know much about what it involved other than what is obvious in the name. And while I was there, I met this wonderful couple who, to my mind, absolutely personified servant leadership in our community. People of great humility, people of tremendous conviction, people who are gifted in finding their calling in a way that makes a huge, tangible, lasting difference in the lives of some of our troubled members of our community. Jeff and Jill, you asked for nothing of me that day, and I don't pretend for a moment that I have ever really been able to help you, other than you moved me in what you shared with me. And it was such a privilege a few years later and a blessing to be able to attend an event in the Hamilton City Council Chambers in which the two of you were honoured for your work with a Hamilton City Civic Award. Were any of you there that day? One or two were? Great to see. Wasn't it a lovely occasion? Civic Awards, as Jamie will tell you, are always a particularly lovely part of our life, because as MPs we get to go along and celebrate those who have done such wonderful things in our community. And there may be other recipients here, because people are honoured for serving the community in many different ways. What was particularly unusual that day was that Jeff and Jill were one of just two couples who were being honoured. And usually those who are being honoured are honoured as individuals, but they were honoured as a couple for the fantastic work that they have done. And those of you who were there with us will know just how popular that award was. As I say, we're all called to have a servant's heart. So brother, sister, let me serve you. That is our calling, isn't it, as Christians? It's our role to be out there. Whatever our gifts are, whatever our employment might be, whatever our circumstances might be, brother, sister, let me serve you. Let us find ways to be able to serve in our community. But then pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. Focus on that word grace and what it means. Because at times I feel, what did I do to deserve the privilege of being a member of parliament? And I can't justify it unless I can do it with a servant heart. And so to the gentleman before who asked me how much longer will I stay in the role? The answer is, I don't know. It's partly because I have a marginal seat and the voters of Hamilton West could choose to get rid of me at the next election or the one after that. But I pray that I might have the opportunity to continue to serve, to focus on things that I think are important in our community. And then, that if the voters let me be their servant, that I might have the grace to be able to accept that role, to accept that privilege, and not to let it go to my head, but to be able to do what is required of me. And so as I work to my conclusion, I want to focus on another couple of passages. One is, talked too long because it's gone blank on my screen. Just for a moment to share with you words that are, of course, very familiar from Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, Then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, or from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." And to those involved in prison care ministry, that passage absolutely speaks to us all of what you do and inspires us all to join you and to support you in doing it. My favorite passage from Scripture is Micah 6, verse 8. Be familiar to many of you. "He has shown you, O Lord, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" I hope that one day somebody might be able to say that I lived up to that scripture that speaks to me so much. I have absolutely no doubt at all that it is the scripture that describes Jeff and Jill McMillan. That they did justice, that they loved mercy, and all the while in doing everything that they have been called to do, they walked humbly with their God, with our God, never asking for acknowledgement, never asking for thanks, save that of knowing that they were doing the Lord's will in a way that made a difference for some of the most vulnerable in our community. So to Sev and your team, thank you so much for taking over this ministry. Thank you for the work you've already done, because you've been in the role for some time. Thank you for the great blessings that you are to people in our community who need your help day in and day out. To Jeff and Jill, of course, you don't know how to retire. We all know that. But we honor you. We acknowledge the huge commitment that you have made out of the goodness of your hearts and through the love and grace of God that is deep within you. Thank you so much. God bless you in whatever may mark your retirement as you continue to serve. We are all deeply in your debt, particularly those whom you have helped, and it is such a privilege to be with you all. God bless you all.
Thank you for those incredibly thought-provoking and heartfelt words. Really appreciate you sharing those. I'd like to invite Alex Shepherd to come forward. He's the chair of the trust and is going to take us through a brief journey of the 15 years that is PCM.
Yep, I hope you're not hungry because we've got quite a bit to get through. No, relax. I controlled myself. There's a number up there, 550. That was true, I believe, in 1st of April, the end of the financial year. 550 men. That's a big number, isn't it? There's a few guys here that I kind of recognise that might be part of that 550, but There's a whole heap that no one will ever know, probably here, or a few of you, but there's a whole heap of people that have been impacted by this ministry. So the seed that grew, prior to PCM, Jeff and Jill were involved in Prison Fellowship Waikato, and prior to that they were involved in Open Air Campaigners. And there's other things in that time that I'm not fully aware of. There's some teaching in high school, and there's a bunch of fostering of different age groups over the years, a whole heap of things. But they were already doing this sort of stuff, and in one day at Waikeria, one guy yells out, "Hey, miss, where can I go when I get out of here?" And that phrase or question set in motion a bunch of activities. So that was in 2001. Later that year, there's a group of people in Hamilton here formed a group called Hamilton Supportive Accommodation Centre. And they had a house and were figuring out a whole lot of stuff along the way. There's the people that were involved, Jeff and Jill Smith, not to be confused with that, Jeff and Jill McMillan, Elaine, Mel, Anton. Some of you may know Anton, he used to come along here years ago, and of course Jeff and Jill. Later that year they renamed it Hamilton Supportive Accommodation Network. And so that was 2003. 2004, pretty much 1st of September, so we're right on the, pretty much on the day, we formed this trust to embrace this accommodation for providing accommodation for guys. A bunch of people you may or may not recognise there. Mariah Nui, he's here. On the left there, Mike, he's not here. They were part of Chapel Hill many years ago. Jeff and Jill. On the far side at the back there is Len Cayley. He's actually a lawyer in town here, and we make various jokes about him providing future people for PCM. He has the first contact, and then sometime later they come to us. So that's the trust. It's a little office. Those windows in the middle there is the room that we used to rent for many years, and it sometimes encroached into other parts of that building, but that's where things happened for a long time. Now, moving. This is a constant activity. So if you imagine 550 guys, they'll show up, they'll go through a process, and then sometime they'll leave, graduate. Some get kicked out, some get sent back. A whole lot of things. But shifting and resettling and guys graduating from the houses, moving out into another place, or sometimes they'll take over a house and we'll go find another one. This is a huge amount of work over the years. So there's always a steady stream of set-up stuff, beds, clothing, linen, kitchen bits and pieces for guys getting set up in houses. So kind of bear that in mind. In the early days, Camp Breakaway was something that was to respond to the need of, actually, it's not just the men, it's their whole families that are impacted by the sort of guys being in prison and that sort of thing. And so this was, run this for, I don't know, how many years? Four or five, something like that. This was a get-together of families, whole families, and a chance to be in an environment that was completely foreign. You know, it was another way of Jeff and Jill being able to give into the lives of these families as well. Children, partners, yeah. We haven't been able to continue that because it's quite a bit of work. And we've actually got a whole heap more guys than we did to start with. Come on, baby. Did I just skip something? No. Christmas. Christmas is a time where a lot of people disappear and have time with their families, but sometimes that's not a good thing for some of the guys to be able to do. And so pretty much every Christmas, would it be? Yep. We've had a breakfast barbecue at Jeff and Jules. I've been to most of them, I'd say. And it's a great time to have a big cook-up and a feast, unbelievable feast, to be honest. And this has been a big part of the annual kind of calendar for prison care. Last year, my two boys were able to come along and bring their guitars and play, entertain, share, which was an interesting sort of experience for them. Okay. So currently, this is where our office is. It's in Kent Street in Frankton. We moved there 2017. And so that's the hub of activity there. These are the current trustees. We had a few changes along the way. Robbie Yahoo on the left, Mariah Nui, then Bruce McDowell, newish, me, of course. Jill, you'll notice Jeff is missing. That's a change over time to do with separation of governance and management. And we've got Pam on the far end. So that's the current crew. And here's our staff, pretty much. We've had one change since, but we've got John on the left there. Coral was with us until 2018, last year. Yep. And Jill and Jeff, and Catherine and Sev. So that's the people that you're most likely to encounter if you come to the office. And now this is a hanging out is pretty much the hub of what this ministry is. Hanging out with guys. The whole thing starts with letter writing, visiting people in prison. There's a steady stream of visits and audio-visual interviews and that sort of thing, and that's a critical part of how PCM operates. We don't tend, we avoid, well, try really hard to avoid taking people that we haven't met or haven't got an established relationship with. And so letter writing has been a big part of the job. Jill used to write something like 40 to 50 letters a month to guys all around the countryside. And this can go on for several years before we actually see these guys. Some of these guys who are perhaps doing PD, preventive detention, no release date, they've had a letter relationship for many years. So the letter writing is sort of something that's been handed over to Sev and to others, John. Meeting the bus that comes in once a week or twice a week into Hamilton and catch up with these guys who are booked in to come and see us and take them to work and income, take them to the bank, set them up with an email address, all these bits and pieces that you need to do that is like, oh my goodness, how do you do all this? It's something that's been done pretty regularly, but it's still a bit of a hassle working through the various agencies and things that you have to do. Also doing things like having coffee, going on the bus, going on the orbiter around Hamilton, figuring out how all that sort of thing works, home groups, Bible studies, that sort of thing. A lot of activities, checking up on guys, hanging out with them, talking about things. There's also a bunch of counselling, sort of induction type activities that happen. So it's a pretty busy hub in the office and in these houses. There's a bunch of volunteers, of course, who do some of those roles. Some of them come in and just do the visits, say, or pick them up from the bus, or repairs to houses, home groups, a bunch of different activities. So that's pretty much the hub of the thing. There was a bunch of other photos and all sorts of other things that when I was sort of preparing this, and Jill maintains a kind of a diary thing of significant events over that time, and it was really interesting to reflect back on to the goodness of God and faithfulness of God over that time. There's been a few times when, as a trust, we've thought, oh my goodness, we're going to run out of money here. This is not good. You know, the red line is heading towards zero. And we sort of, in the back of our mind, had the dollar amount that if we got below that, we would have to give notice on all our houses and wind up, right? And there's one year we got pretty close to that. And but it's interesting, you know, as a trust or people who are involved in the hub of the ministry, how do people react? And I do remember one day, one of those situations, and Jill said, well, what about the guys? Who cares about the money? What's going to happen to all the guys? And, you know, it's kind of a, quite a telling phrase, really, and that's sort of, I don't think Jeff and Jill have ever really thought of, cared about the money too much. I mean, obviously they need the money to survive, but as people can survive, they're remarkable what they can survive on, because I know, because I approve the payments every month. And that in itself is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. We don't have any contracts or government funding directly, and yet 15 years later, the organisation still operates out of the generous donations of many people, a good number of you are here, and other grants, that community grants and things that we've been able to tap into. So when you say, you know, if you talk to Jeff about retirement, he says it's not retirement. And after a while, you kind of get the hang of what he means or understand what he means about that, because actually, are they going to suddenly stop caring for people? Unlikely. Are they going to stop being paid for it? Most likely. There's a few exceptions to that, so, you know, I can't imagine that it'll be completely zero, because there's sort of stand-in times and fill-in people on leave and things like that. So I imagine we'll see them around a little bit, but not as much as previously. But Jeff will just, and Jill will both, they've got other responsibilities in the family now, but also just being able to hang out and just spend time and doing what they love doing instead of doing what they've had to do. And that's really the opportunity and the most likely future that I can imagine, and that's what they love doing. And so, you know, Jeff and Jill, we just honour you this morning. We thank you for all you've done. We've probably got, you know, 3% awareness of what it is, and there's a whole heap of individuals that are out there that have got a way more knowledge about what it means to have someone rock up to them, care for them, believe in them, encourage them, and help them along the way to the next stage in their life. And as that baton's been handed over to Sev and the other part, the members of the team, they've been given a good example of what it is to love and care for people in a way that we've just heard of before. So that's it for me. And the next chapter, we will just wait and see.
Thank you, Alex. I think it should be recognised as well, the incredible work of the Trust and all those kinds of people behind the scenes. Behind every great ministry is a great trust. Possibly. Anthony Allison has graciously admitted that he would be willing to share and his experience of PCM, so I'd like to invite Anthony forward to speak. Excellent. Thanks, Anthony.
I have to say I'm extremely nervous. I'm not as eloquent a speaker as the previous two people, but I will do my best. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to say what a privilege it is for me to be asked to say a few words about Jeff and Jill. Whatever and whoever you are, PCM doesn't make judgments. They just dispense love and compassion to all mankind. I will be eternally grateful for both the welcoming voice at the end of the phone whilst inside, the words of encouragement emulating from the letters of hope they sent in their correspondence, and lastly for me, the broad, flashing smile of Jeff McMillan at the bus terminal. I'll never forget that. After the initial heartfelt greeting, Jeff's first response was, "Let's go and get something to eat. You've been on a long and tiring journey." That particular phrase resonated with me. It had been all of that. After I was incarcerated, I became estranged from my two adult children. My wife passed away in 2010. I didn't have any family member visit me during the period. I had spent the previous 12 years living in Australia. I'd lost close contact with friends during that extended period, as one does. In marine terms, they talk about being lost at sea. For me, and I'm sure for lots of others, PCM popped up like a beacon of light, shining out of the dark clouds of despair. And then it was back to the office to meet the other power behind the throne, Mrs. McMillan, otherwise known as Jill. Behind the wonderful smile is literally a heart of gold. Everybody that's ever been touched by her knows that. I certainly do. And then I met the man I call Mr. T. Tears and teeth. He has the most perfect pearly white natural teeth, as opposed to my artificial ones, that I've ever seen. I'm at a loss to really describe this man and his wonderful wife and children. But what I do know is that PCM is in very safe hands, and the wonderful work that the McMillans have done in establishing PCM will only go from strength to strength with Sev and his family steering the boat from now on. I suggest to everybody who is here this morning that it would be impossible not to have been touched by the kindness and generosity of the McMillans, the Sinwagers, and their legacy, Prison Care Ministries. As for myself, I will continue to be part of this family as long as they will have me. It continues to be my absolute pleasure and commitment to do anything at any time that will advance the unbelievable work that PCM does. It would be wonderful if any of you here today would be ready at any time to serve this wonderful cause. It deserves that from all of us. And lastly, for my part, thank you, Jeff and Jill. And PCM for being there when I needed help. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I apologize. It's very emotional for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. You did extremely well. Now, to the hands that receive the rugby ball. A man who has worked for, worked with, and now will work largely without. Sev.
Thank you. Wow. I don't know where to start. I normally know where to start. And I normally have a lot to say. Today is different. Like Anthony, I think I'm quite nervous too. But let me start by acknowledging all the words that have been said here regarding Jeff and Jill. I think that I would not be wrong to say that Jeff and Jill represent parents for most of us me included. Most of our men, in fact, call Jeff Dad and Jill Mom. That's the kind of people they are. But for a few of you here, or perhaps a lot of people here may not know who I am. My name is Sev Simwinga. And before you ask, I know you want to ask, I come from Zambia, born, raised, worked in Zambia, and then migrated to the UK before God called us to New Zealand. So don't see the color. It means nothing because I'm Kiwi. My family and I have found home here, so we belong. I say this up front because a lot of people, when we meet and chat, they are always asking, so where are you from? How long have you been here? So we've been here, this is our forever? 14 years. Now, before I came to Prison Care Ministries, I worked in the private security industry and then moved on to the Department of Corrections as a corrections officer. And then left the prison, came into the community, became a probation officer. Before Jeff tapped me on the shoulder and said, come and work with us. Now, in the Department of Corrections, within the prisons, community probation space, and yes, in the reintegration arena, the impact and ministry of Jeff and Jill, in fact, precedes them. I knew about Prison Care Ministries and what they do before I met Jeff and Jill. I knew their names before I met them, and I loved them before I even saw who they were. And guess my surprise, when I met them, I had this image of huge, you know, and I discovered that, to my surprise, the stature of the ministry and the name and the impact was nothing compared to their stature, because they are both quite small in stature. But that is that can fool you. When you look at them, the heart they have, Anthony called it the heart of gold. It's not just the heart of gold, it's a huge heart. It will embrace everyone and anyone. So I came to work for Prison Care Ministries, coincidentally, in September 2015. So I've been here quite a while, and it feels like I've been working with them forever. Working for Jeff and Jill was the easy part, because all I did was observe them in awe how they did ministry and do as I was told as a good soldier. That was easy. But I learned a lot from them, the selfless love, the compassion, the commitment, and dare I say, the endurance because the cohort of people that we work with sometimes call for a lot of resilience and endurance, but also a lot of graciousness. Like every parent, your children will go wayward sometimes, but you still love them. And you love them because they are your children. But Jeff and Jill will love them even when they are not their children. I say this to make a point. The point is that when your child does something wrong, you can't help but to bring them back. But if it's someone else's child, you don't want to have anything to do with them. But that's not Jeff and Jill. They'll come and swear at them and say all sorts of things, but their arms will still be wide open. They'll still embrace them and love them. And that left a big impression on my heart. So that is working for them. Working with them, not so easy. Not so easy, not because of who they are, but because I soon became the manager, but it was hard for me to put myself in the position to express myself as such, as a manager. Because while Jeff and you were waiting for me to give instructions, I was waiting for them to give me instructions. So a lot of times there was a lot of problem because I didn't know and they didn't know who was going to do what. Yeah. But in the end, the truth be told, in the end, really, when I took over as manager, Jeff became the managing trustee. But really, I was the manager, Jeff was the managing trustee, but it was really Jill who told us what to do. And whatever she said, that's what we did. And that's one of the most important things I'm going to have to miss, because it's easier when I'm told what to do. There's something about Jill that some of you may not know. Jill knows everything about Prison Care Ministries. She has the calendar at the tip of her fingers. She knows when what needs to be done, when who needs to be called. She even knows the birthdays of the men who have gone, who are residents, and so on and so forth. So it was easy. Just look at Jill and she tells you what needs to be done now. And I'm going to miss that. But thankfully, I know where they live. So working for them, working with them, and now taking over the reins, that is a daunting responsibility, which I accept with fear and trembling, mainly because doing this is not really about education. It's not about skill. It's really not about experience or expertise. Because if it was just about that, I would be laughing. Because I've got all that. This is a call. It's a vocation. That requires a lot of grace, laced with a lot of prayer and support. And that is why it is a daunting responsibility, which I accept, like I said, with fear and trembling. And can I take this opportunity to say to each one of you that are here, because of Jeff and Jill, to please continue to pray and support the ministry they have birthed and looked after until now. And by extension, I am also saying, if they have chosen this handsome young man speaking to you, if you don't support him, by extension, you have ceased to support Jeff and Jill. Because the DNA of Jeff and Jill remains the DNA of Prison Care Ministries. I want to take this opportunity to salute Jeff and Jill. These are the gallants of this ministry. I wish them well. And please continue to pray for them. I know that a lot of you are here because somehow they've touched your hearts and you are connected somehow to them. Please continue to support them. Continue to pray for them as they take the back bench. I'm afraid to say the swear word, which is retirement. Jeff doesn't like that. So they're just taking a back, you know, what's the word? If I said back bench, I think the MPs here won't be very happy with me. Back seat, yes, back seat. Yeah. Thank you. Also, please continue to support this ministry, which Jeff and Jill have invested the past 15 years into. Thank you very much, and I wish you all God's blessings. Thank you.
If I'm right, I think it's the time for the trust now to thank Jeff and Jill. We may even give you guys a moment to say something. As an open-air campaigner, Jeff, I know that you love to get hold of the mic, so I probably can't refuse you on your particular day. Perhaps Jill should speak. She, after all, it's her voice that we'd listen to, apparently. Alex. Who else is coming forward? The other trust members? Yep. All right. Yeah. Heavy sigh from one of them.
Yep. Who else is here? Bruce is hiding something. Yep. Yep, Pam. So we've got a... few tokens of thanks. You want to come up? Come up, guys. Yep. Oh, yeah. Some of the staff members, you want to come up as well? Who's here today? John?
Wendy.
John and Wendy. It's almost that surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, isn't it? But anyway, okay.
We thought to, no, Jeff, we are not giving you the mic. We thought we would just sing Wairua Tap one more time just to acknowledge the goodness of God and then will present something to you. Mr. Ali. Yes, please. You want me to start the song? No.
tapu kumai. No mai ki konei. Why do I tapu anaya? Korero mai ano.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, welcome. You are welcome here. And guide us, Holy Spirit. And speak to us again. Why do I tapu kumai? No mai ki konei. Why do I tapu anaya? Korero mai ano.
So this is to say thank you, Jeff and Jill, for your goodness, the love, the care, not only for the men, but for Sev and I, for welcoming us in your home, for the lovely coffee, Jeff. At least you and I share the coffee. Just the goodness, the care, the concern, the... It's almost like Sev said, you are always there to give a hand. And I don't know how we're going to do it without you in the office. But we thank God that you are around. So, and this is, PCM is your baby. So whatever success we're going to enjoy, it's because of you. And we would like you to still be a part of the work and still be part of our family. So thank you. This is just a small token from the staff to say thank you for all the work. And we've got something behind there.
And we got something else for you as well. You'll have to fight over it. Sorry, there's only one. Actually, no, there's two.
That's the buck seat.
Yeah. So we've got another chair and a little table, but that's all that could fit in my car this morning. You'd like to pray, eh? Guys, you want to pray? So, Father, we're just reflecting on this time. 15 years of blessing and giving to over 550 men and their families and our community. Lord, we just are amazed and staggered that you do this through unexpected ways and through unassuming people. And Lord, we just take inspiration from these guys. We love them. We love being with them. We love hanging out with them and being part of them as volunteers, trust members, staff, residents, and community. Lord, it's amazing that you do this, and it's wonderful in our eyes. And Lord, as the Jeff and Jill head into the next chapter of their lives, we expect more great things, Lord, and we trust you will just continue to bless them, to support them, and to continue their ministry of love and care to anyone who comes in touch with them or comes alongside them. We thank you for this opportunity and for this example to us all. Amen.
just one thing that I really felt that during this service today, firstly that I'd been robbed of knowing them for very long because you have such an incredible wealth of information, but secondly that God's really saying to you over and over and over again, well done, good and faithful servants.
We would like to say a big thank you, firstly, to Philip. Thank you for making this morning happen. It's a first for Chapel Hill. It is one of our commending churches. We are grateful and really feel loved. There's a lot of faith here. There's two churches as mentioned, there's Chapel Hill and also Stephen Catherine's Church, your Shaddai Worship Centre. A music thing was built on half from each, and it was done. Well, thank you guys for joining. There's a lot of others that I've glimpsed and seen, had a few hugs. Folk have known us for many, many years. And you encouraged, loved, and supported us, for which we really are grateful. The next chapter in our life is getting a little bit clearer. This church, and many of you know that we are parents again. We're now in our 70s, and we have a 2-year-old great-granddaughter in our care and custody. She is a delight, and it's her that keeps us young. Trust me, she keeps us on our toes. She's not here this morning. She's with an auntie, which is a blessing. But as we carry on caring for her and whatever, the word this morning is keep praying for us. We have survived on the prayer of God's people. That is more important than the financial support. But your prayers have been answered, and we're grateful. We've seen God move many times in many ways, and we give him all the glory. But thank you for being here and supporting us.
I'd actually like to say thanks for the men that come to us, because without you, we wouldn't be here. Sort of. So anyway, last night, two of the men just arrived at home to say they couldn't come today, and would just like you guys to just arrive at home sometimes, and we will keep in touch.
Very good. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming this morning. Stay, we've got plenty of tea and coffee and things to eat, and take an opportunity to give Jeff and Jill a hug and bless them. I think that's it. Very good. Just out at the front here.